This is CKLN 88.1 FM. You're listening to Wednesday Word of Mouth, and we're going to an interview produced by Daniel Libby. Take it away, Daniel.
On the line, we have Bob Lovelace, who is a representative from the Ardoch First Nations, and he's going to talk about what's going on in the area of North Frontenac, something going on with the Frontenac Ventures Company and uranium mine.
Yes, hi, Daniel.
Thanks for appearing on the show. And I guess the main thing I want to get into is what's happening at Charbot Lake area?
Well, what's happening is that north of Charbot Lake on the Mississippi watershed, Crotch Lake, the Ragged Chutes area of the Mississippi, that area, about 30,000 acres have been staked by a company called Frontenac Ventures. And the staking is for uranium exploration and the potential of developing a uranium mine in the upper watershed of the Mississippi.
One thing I'm wondering about is how Frontenac Ventures has permission or license to explore this area or do that?
Well, the provincial government has licensed them and given them permission to develop some roads across Algonquin territory. First Nation has been aware of the company doing some exploratory work, and as we researched it and began to investigate what was happening, we found that just extensive amounts of territory had been staked.
I guess mainly what I'm wondering about is the dangers that this uranium mining could cause to the people and environment.
Well, uranium mining is notorious for causing health problems both for the workers in the mine as well as neighboring communities. The community of Serpent River First Nation, for instance, about 60 kilometers downstream from Elliott Lake, suffers high degrees of cancer and birth defects. What happens is that when a uranium mine begins to extract the ore, it crushes the ore, and that releases or makes more available the radiation or the toxic radioactive material. As it's crushed, only a small portion of it is taken for manufacturing use, and the rest is left in toxic tailings, either in tailing ponds or in tailing heaps, which through weather leach down into the water system.
The other thing that I noticed is that there's possibly another company, MREL, Mining Resources and Engineering Limited,
yes,
that might be possibly testing weapons?
What the First Nation did, the Ardoch Algonquin First Nation, in partnership with our neighboring Charlotte Abajuin First Nation, we secured the gate which leads into the area where the exploration company wanted to take drill samples. When we secured that gate, what we also discovered was that there were a couple of other uses going on. There's a man from Quebec with a cottage, and there's also the MREL who do research into explosives. And right now they're working with ways to safely detonate improvised explosive devices. And they're also working on how to make vehicle armor much more secure for the military personnel. And what we've done is we discussed this with them. It took us a little while to understand what they were doing. And right now we've reached an agreement where they can go back and do their work. And we'll accommodate them, and they can accommodate us in terms of providing security at the gate.
The one thing that's really jumping out that seems alarming is that this actual land, this specific areas, are unsurrendered and unceded. Could you explain what that means?
Well, I guess the best place to start is in 1763, after the Treaty of Paris, which was the result of the fall of Quebec and the end of the Seven Years' War. That goes back a long ways. Mm-hmm. It was when the British first took control over what was then Quebec, and Quebec became a province, or not a province, but a colony. And that is the beginnings of Canada. That mm-hmm. The legislature that emerged out of the colony of Quebec later evolved into Canada. Also in that document are provisions for the protection and the identification of Aboriginal lands, Indian lands. And in that document, the Crown promises to protect and to recognize that the Aboriginal jurisdiction on their own homelands. And the only way that land could be acquired by the Crown was either through an outright purchase of that land from the Indian people or a treaty with the Indian people that would cede portions of their land. In the Ottawa Valley, that never happened. It never happened with the Algonquin people whose homeland the Ottawa Valley is. And there's some historical reasons for that. But primarily, it's a consistent denial of the Crown to recognize Algonquins and their homeland. Much of that has to do with resource extraction in the 1800s and political reasons in the 1900s. What we're left with today is a situation where the Algonquin people have not been able to access their resources or use their lands in the best way that meets their needs. And the law now states, and as you know, over the last 25 years or so, courts have found increasingly in favor of Aboriginal nations who hold these rights. So what we're saying, and interestingly enough, what our non-Aboriginal neighbors are saying in North Frontenac is, we need these rights to protect our interests against uranium mining. We need the Aboriginal people to step up and assert their rights to the land in order to protect everyone's interests. It's an interesting situation where the shoe is sort of on the other foot. Often, you know, Aboriginal communities or their neighbors are dead against their having rights. In our situation, our neighbors are very much in favor of our rights.
The one thing just going over here is the fact that the North Frontenac Township Council seems to be split over the idea of uranium mining in the area, and that Mayor Ron McGuire has not taken a firm stand on the uranium issue, and he says he doesn't have an opinion about the protests. So I was just wondering how you feel about the local government.
I think that Mr. McGuire's position is one that a lot of politicians hold, is that they'd like to bury their head in the sand and let others fight it out. We get that same sort of response from provincial politicians as well as federal politicians. It often takes, and not to say that we would ever promote this, but sometimes, you know, it resolves itself with a violent action or someone getting hurt badly. And that's not what we want. We want politicians to pay attention to the law and to get involved. We also want them to pay attention to what uranium mining is all about. Potentially, uranium mining might bring a boom to the area that would last 10 to 15 years. What would be left behind would be a shattered economy, just like at Elliott Lake, Uranium City in Saskatchewan. Across the country where uranium has been mined, it leaves behind shattered economy, toxic waste. It just hasn't proven to be, at the front end, a very clean operation. Now, politicians like Mr. McGuire are overshadowed by the mayor of Central Frontenac, for instance, who has a very clear vision of how she would like to see economic development occur and be maintained in the area, and she's dead against the uranium mine.
You brought up the concept of money. I guess one thing I know is that uranium mining companies have been making a lot of money due to the rarity of uranium and also the use within nuclear power stations, of which, according to the Ontario Power Generation, 44% of the provinces of Ontario's power is generated through nuclear power. Do you have any words on the topic of nuclear power?
Yeah, it's really time for a change. The actual generation of electricity by uranium products is probably pretty clean, but you need to look at the front end as well. You need to look at the communities that are destroyed, the landscapes that are destroyed, the toxicity. I mean, in this situation, if a uranium mine were developed in the upper waters of the Mississippi, it takes 4 days for the pollution to reach Ottawa, and basically Ottawa is 4 days away from a catastrophe here. The front end is really dirty. And really, the back end is totally unpredictable because there's no technology for the storage of this stuff once it's spent. The only use for spent uranium right now is in armaments.
With the ongoing protests by people in the area trying to prevent this uranium mining, do you believe that because of the protests that's resulted in the meetings? I know there's been at least one meeting with Frontenac Ventures and the local people.
Yeah. I think our protests are in an attempt to try to get provincial and federal politicians involved and have an opinion and adhere to the law. I think that securing the gate provides security for our homeland in that it's not under the process of a claim. And I think it also sends a pretty clear message to Frontenac Ventures not to waste any more money. I hope it sends a clear message to anyone who would consider investing in Frontenac Ventures that this project is finished, because we will stick with it until we have to. We did meet with Frontenac Ventures and entered into a discussion. I think both parties agreed that the province of Ontario should have advised the company of the Algonquin right and title to our homeland. They should have advised Frontenac Venture that we needed to be consulted with and accommodated if they intended to do any sort of mining here.
And one other thing that I've noticed is that there was a financial offer from Frontenac Ventures at one point, I believe, it might have been last week or 2 weeks ago, that the Algonquin Nations rejected. Why, in your opinion, is the Charlotte Lake area worth more than money?
Algonquins have no other place in the world to turn to call home. Our language and our culture comes from this area. To be an Algonquin, one must have some sort of relationship with the land. And that relationship should be one of stewardship. It should be one of caring. It should be one that you're proud to take your grandchildren to the land to fish, to hunt, to collect plants, to have a picnic, to just take a quiet walk in. This is our homeland. You would not, if you had the power to stop it, you would not see your homeland destroyed. No one would. That's the bottom line. The fact that Frontenac Ventures offered $10,000 for the Algonquins to consent to his progressing with his core sampling is kind of foolish. And in comparison, Frontenac Ventures has brought a lawsuit against myself and our retired chief, Honorary Chief Harold Perry, and our chiefs, and the chief of Shabbat Abadjalan for $100 million. You know, we wonder how sincere their $10,000 offer was when we see that that's the amount that they want to sue us for.
Definitely sounds very, very extreme. I'm very glad to have talked to you today. Thanks for doing the interview. I guess keep fighting. Do you have any last words about how people can support?
Well, we've gotten a lot of wonderful support from our non-native neighbors. They're our supply line. They bring food to the camp where we're securing the gate. Tonight there's a benefit music fest with Sarah Harmer and Jimmy Whiteley, and that we're really happy that people like that have come out to support us. We've had the support of William Commando, the Algonquin elder, who is elder to all of the Algonquins in the valley, both Quebec and Ontario side. We've had just a lot of support. I think what people can do, particularly in the Ottawa community, is wake up, you know, and ask themselves, do they want a uranium mining at the head of the water that that comes down into the Ottawa River and past the city? I guess your whole listeners, Gatineau listeners, would be just as interested in that as well.
Definitely. Thanks again, Mr. Bob Lovelace, for talking with us. We definitely are sure to look into this issue more, and I encourage all the listeners to look into this more. And yeah, enjoy the festival tonight.
Okay.
So that was Mr. Bob Lovelace from the Ardoc First Nation of Algonquin people in the Charbot-Harbonton area, which is just north of Kingston, I believe, 40 kilometers north.